However, blasphemy, what is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is telling the Holy Spirit, I don't need you, you're useless, you have no power in my life. If you are doing that, you are rejecting the gospel, because he brings people to Jesus. Without Jesus, you are condemned. You see the point? Have you blasphemed the Holy Spirit in the past? Yeah, every one of us have. Until the point of forgiveness. Okay? Listen to me closely. If I blaspheme the Holy Spirit and remain in that state when I die, I have no forgiveness, correct? But if I receive the message, what do I have? Forgiveness. That's what it's all about. Okay? So understand, that's what that's talking about with the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So if you have received Jesus Christ, guess what? You are okay. Because what? Everything is washed away. All sins have been forgiven. He paid it all. But if you continue to reject Jesus, the message of the Holy Spirit, then you die condemned. And that, if you die in that state, there's no fixing it. There's no forgiveness. You see the point there, guys? All right. Go to Job 33. Back and forth, back and forth. A lot of back and forth. And maybe you just want to write these down and go to them later. I try not to have the verses listed out so that I time with you guys as I flip through, so if you're wondering. Job 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God has what? Made me, and the breath of the Almighty does what? Gives me life. Okay? So the Holy Spirit in that realm is the giver of life, the breath of God. One more, 2 Corinthians, and then we'll move on. Chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but what does the Spirit do? Gives life. All right. So understand that God, when we talk about God, in whatever role, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, we are talking about the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the creator of everything, not comparable to the other Elohim. He is the creator of the Elohim. Are you tracking with me? All right, how does God reveal himself? He reveals himself, God the Father reveals himself, according to Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, by his name. God reveals himself by his name, and according to John, through his word, which happens to be what? Jesus. So Jesus Christ is a physical revelation of God. Did you tie that together? Isn't that cool? He is the physical revelation of God. All right, now here's a little bit more for you. Hebrews chapter 1. I'm getting there too. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us. How? By his Son. whom he had appointed heir of all things, through who also he made the world. So again, Jesus, again, is the creator. Okay? Through him, it was made. All right. This is definitely going to turn into two parts, guys, so we've got a lot more to cover, but let's keep going. So now, we defined Elohim first as God the Father, yeah? God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? We understand he is the one on top. No confusion there. Now let's look at those other little g gods or little Elohims. Who are they? Okay. Psalm 82. This is important stuff for understanding what is going on. You really have to get a grasp on this if you want to have any hope at all of understanding what in the world is going on. Remember the kingdoms, right? Remember the kingdoms and the title deed of the earth. What's the current state of the title deed of the earth? Unopened in heaven, yes? Okay? All right, Psalm 82. We'll first look at verse 1, then we'll look at verse 6. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of... I'm reading the wrong psalm. That's a good one though too, man. Jason would have been here. Jason would have been like, that's the wrong one. All right, let's go to Psalm 82, not Psalm 81. All right. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. And that is what? Elohim. So, there's this congregation going on in heaven. And what is God doing? He's judging them, standing as judge over those. Do we see that in the book of Job? When Satan comes and asks permission? Absolutely. All right, let's check out verse 6. I said, you are God's Elohim, and all of you are children of the Most High. Okay. Who did he say that to? To you? Mm-mm. Who did he say that to? You are children of the Most High. He said it to the Elohim. That's not to you, folks. Right? Read it again. I said, you are God's, you are Elohim, and you are all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men. So if you're a man, is he going to say you're going to die like a man? Well, duh. I am a man. So who is he talking to? Okay, Psalms 82 says that there's going to be a judgment upon the Elohim. Okay, when does that happen? Revelation. Deuteronomy 32. This is one where we have a little bit of an issue with the translation of the King James and the New King James. If you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, and if you look at the oldest Hebrew translations, it reads quite differently. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, pause, when did that happen? Remember the story? After the flood, right? Things went along okay for a while, but then what happened? Some Nimrod. That was funny. Maybe just for me, but that was funny. Decided, hey, let's all gather up together and build a tower to heaven. Now, there's a lot of, we get this small, simple-minded of, oh, they're going to build a tower. No, it's a little bit more than that, right? They're building something of worship, right? They were trying to get to heaven. They were trying to become gods. And just so you know, that was the temptation to Eve in the garden. Did you know that? When you have an Elohim tempting Eve, saying, if you bite of this fruit, you will be like me. That was the temptation. So God divided this inheritance of the nations when he separated the sons of who? Adam. He set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the children of, this is where we run into a problem. It says Israel, doesn't it? The Dead Sea Scrolls, the oldest Hebrew text, say something completely different. Guess what it says? Gods. Elohim. Think about this for a moment. Genesis chapter 11, how does that come into play with the sons of Israel? If you're looking chronologically, Jacob didn't get his name changed to Israel until chapter 32. And then he proceeded to go and have these kids, and then the blessing upon his kids in Genesis chapter 49. Genesis 11 is before all that. So he's dividing it according to the children of Israel. When the Israel children listed, were they listed in Genesis chapter 11? No! We have a problem. But what the Dead Sea Scrolls and what the oldest translations say is that it was divided to the children of God, the Elohim. Meaning that if you were an Elohim, a spiritual being, you were put in charge of areas upon the earth. Do we read that in other places in the Bible? Ephesians chapter 6 says, we don't wrestle against flesh or blood. We wrestle against who? Principalities. Elohim. Daniel mentions this little conflict with the prince of what? Persia. Who was in charge of Persia? That spiritual being that was in charge of it. Remember the kingdoms from last week? Right? Who still has charge of Eden? That's God's turf. But everywhere else was divided and given to these false gods. So listen to me closely. When they were worshiping, whether in Egypt or wherever, the Inca Indians, wherever, when you start looking at their past, their cultures, and they're worshiping the sun god, the whatever god, whatever, they're worshiping Elohim, church. Okay? It's not a joke. It's not a story. They're worshiping these false gods because these gods want to what? Be like the Most High. All right. Go to verse 17 of chapter 32. Here's the proof. They sacrificed to demons, not to God, and to Elohim they did not know. To new Elohim, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. So again, their fathers in Deuteronomy, right? Who is he speaking? When is Deuteronomy being delivered? In the desert to the children who have left Egypt. He's saying they're worshiping gods, Elohim, that your fathers did not know. So does that mean that there were gods, Elohim, that they did know? Yeah, read it. It's real. They're worshiping to these Elohim. Now, we're going to get to the term demons. Probably won't get to it today. We'll probably have to roll into next week. 1 Corinthians. Now, let's get some New Testament in. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because that's Old Testament stuff. It's all changed in the New Testament, right? It's all changed from today, too, right? I mean, it's all different. That's old stuff. That's Old Testament stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of what? Demons. You can't worship both. If you could worship both, you think God would put this statement here? Yeah, but if you couldn't, if it was physically impractical, if there was no such thing, do you think God would say that? I don't think so. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. If he says, hey, there's a table of demons, would he say you can't do both if it didn't exist? Verse 22. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And so now some people get all worked up. Oh, God's jealous. Well, he's jealous for you. He doesn't want you worshiping these other gods. He loves you. You're his creation. Okay. So, Genesis chapter 10, we know as the genealogy of Noah. Okay? It happens right after the flood, and God lists it out. This is also called the Table of Nations. Within the Genesis chapter 10, there are 70 divisions. And listen to me, if you're into history and anthropology and all that stuff, all of human existence as we know it today comes from those 70 nations. It was divided at that time. And according to what we just read, who was it given to? Who was appointed charge over it? The Elohim. Okay? Sons of God. Let's deter or define sons of God. Because we read that earlier. First of all, we know one of the sons of God would be Adam. Adam was directly made by God. He didn't come through any other way, right? God made him. Sons of God is, guess what? The church. When you give your life to Jesus, remember Romans? You put to death that old man. You are born again. You are a new creation. You are a son of God. Write this down, Galatians chapter 3, 26. You are a son of God. Kind of cool, right? But if you're not born again, who are you a son of? Adam. And listen, when I say son, it's general for person. Genesis chapter 6, verse 2 tells us that the Elohim are sons of God. Job 1, verse 6 through 38, or 38 and verse 7, that's what it is. So it's Job 1, 6 and Job 38, 7 says that the Elohim are also sons of God. Deuteronomy 32, 8, right? Again, what do we see? Sons of God. All right, you ready to have your mind blown now? Genesis chapter 6. Okay. Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. Pick it up, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. So daughters were born of who? Men. Where are they? On earth. Verse 2. That the sons of God, who is that? Well, it's not the church, right? It's not the church, right? Because the church doesn't get It doesn't happen until you receive Jesus. Okay? So it wasn't Adam. Adam didn't go around doing all this. Plus, it's, you know, not singular, it's plural, sons. Who is it? Elohim. Okay? Did we not just define that Elohim could be a spirit, could be one of those creations from God, one of those lowercase g's? Yeah. Verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, right? Who were the daughters of men? Physical men, the men of Adam, were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Wow. So the spiritual Elohim married the physical daughters. What do you think about that? That can't be right. We just read it. Is there stories in the Old Testament where we see physical manifestations of angels, of God Himself? And do they not eat physically? Do they do things in a physical body? Yep. Absolutely. So if that's the case, why are you telling me that's not the case now in Genesis chapter 6, verse 2? So the sons of God, the Elohim, the manifestation physically of these spirits, married women, and then had kids with them. Check it out, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for indeed he is what? Flesh. Yet his days on the earth shall be 120 years. Now, this is a fun one because there's a lot of health programs that go, oh, the Bible says that you're supposed to live to 120. The Bible says so in Genesis. It's like, no, that's the deadline before God's going to wipe that current generation out. You got 120 days left, or 120 years left, guys. You better figure it out. 120 years, that's a long time, isn't it? Anybody seen 120 years yet? No, no. So, is God gracious? Yeah, absolutely. Gave him 120 years to figure this out. Meanwhile, what's happening? This crazy dude called Noah. Noah knows what he was thinking. Is out there building something, and they're like, what are you doing? Huh? God says that, you know, hey, water's going to fall from the sky and we're all going to drown. They're like, well, we've never seen that before. That's not going to happen. He says, well, I don't know, but it's going to happen. Maybe that's why his name was there. I don't know. No, that actually means comfort. But anyway, these are all for you, Teresa. I hope you're hearing them. Verse 4, check this out. And there were giants on the earth in those days and also afterwards. So there were giants during the flood. And guess what? When? After the flood. The flood wiped them all out. Nope. Maybe they did. Maybe something else happened. Hang on. We'll get there. There were giants in the land. This word is also called Nephilim. If you're wondering, Nephilim, it is the offspring of the Elohim and the daughters of men. Okay? So, God came. So, check it out. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterwards when the sons of God came into, also had sex with, the children or the daughters of men, and did what? Bore children to who? To the sons of God. These children are called Nephilim. Also, giants. When do we see giants again? Achan, sons of Achan. Anybody remember a story where a young shepherd boy slung a rock at a big guy? What was he? Giant. He was a Nephilim. Cool. children born, those were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. So now, you start to look at mythology. Hercules, all these superheroes of old time, guess what they were? Are they just stories? They're Nephilim. Guys, this stuff is real, okay? This stuff is real. And the big surge of all the superhero, and I love superhero movies now. I love them, right? But what's the world trying to do? Reintroduce them. Get us acceptable to them. Because guess what? Were there giants, and are there going to be giants after the flood? Yeah. Okay, keep tracking with me. Man, we're getting really late, but I don't want to stop now. All right. So the Lord, verse 5, saw the wickedness of men and the earth was great, and that every intent and thought of the heart was evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was grieved. A lot of people believe that God used the flood to wipe out the Nephilim, but maybe that's partially correct, but really, why did he do it? Because of verse 5. It's really because of verse 5. Okay? And why? Okay, so behind the scenes, the title deed was lost. What did God say to Adam and the serpent and Eve? I've got a plan. Through her seed, I'm going to redeem all this. Through her seed, I'm going to bring the kinsman redeemer. So what does the enemy do? Oh, we got to contaminate the seed. That's the battle, church. That's why the sons of God did this, to contaminate. When the Nephilim die, you have, we'll just term it as a half-breed, okay? From the child of God, from the Elohim and the daughter. Okay? When they die, what happens to their spirit? It can't go to heaven because it's not of God. That spirit is a demon. Okay? Whenever you read the word demon, that's what it is. Okay? It doesn't have the same status as an Elohim. It doesn't have the same status as a child of God because it's not a son of God. It doesn't have the same status as a man because it doesn't. So when those physical creatures, those Nephilim, die, it has a disembodied spirit, an Elohim, but it is termed a demon. When Jesus encountered demons, they begged him, send us into a body, right? Because that's what they crave. They crave to rehave a body. It's their only thing they've got. That's why they wanted to go into a pig. That's why they build a statue, a golden cow. The golden cow. They're not worshiping the cow, guys. They're building a tabernacle for the demon to inhabit. And then they worship it. See, we get all weirded out about, oh, these guys are walking around with little sticks and little trinkets and stuff. Mm-mm. Nope. Just like God built a tabernacle, just like God built a temple, just like we become the temple of God, just like the Garden of Eden was the first tabernacle or temple with God, and that's why in the future there will be an everlasting Eden which God will tabernacle with man. You see the pattern here, gang? It's the same thing through the demon. Listen to me. This is why we don't want to be messing around with yoga. Hear me. Yoga means yoked. You take on that pose so that that demon can inhabit you. Don't buy the dress that's on the pig. See that little porker for what it is. All right, church. I think we're going to have to put a pause there. Let me double check my notes to see if I've got anything else. I've got a lot more, actually. So we'll pick this back up, but that's what's going on with the behind-the-scenes player, okay? Next, we'll introduce Jesus and the importance of Jesus. And then we'll get to more of the titles. We'll talk about angels. We'll talk about all these different players in the way. But basically, that's all you have, okay? You've got God the Father, you got the sons of God, and then you got the sons of Adam. That's all the players that play right now, okay? We obviously are part of the sons of Adam until you receive Jesus. The importance of Romans, right? You are no longer a son of Adam because of the kinsman redeemer. This is all really cool stuff. And hopefully it all comes together for you and you're like, oh. And your faith and your understanding just went way deep. It's good stuff. Hey, feel free if you have any questions to ask me or call me or text me. And if they're really, really difficult questions, call Dave. Okay? Because this is important stuff, and I really don't want you. And we're going through it fast. We're going through it fast, okay? I mean, some people last week were like, whoa, what was that? And I failed to remember that some people didn't go through that kingdom study with me, so it was all new to them. And it's like drinking from a fire hydrant. But hey, I'm always available, okay? All right, Lord, we thank you for your word. It just is just really marvelous. And like we read today, your word is the revelation of who you are. And Lord, I just pray that the counselor that Jesus said he would send would teach us and lead us in all these things. Lord, that you would open our eyes to see the wonderful things in your word, and that you would open our eyes to see the things that are going on. And so that we can be the watchmen, and we can stand on that wall, and we can say, church, wake up. This is what this is. See it for what it is. All of these things are like that Trojan horse that the enemy is trying to bring into the church. And we've got to see it. And we've got to defend against it. Lord, I ask that you would just build this body, Lord. Strengthen it spiritually. Knit us together. Put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us, because when we start diving into this stuff and we start calling things out for what they are, definitely the spiritual warfare intensifies. So Lord, protect us. And we're so grateful that through all of this, you so loved us that you sent your only Son to die for us, to redeem us, Lord, to bring us back, to restore us into fellowship because of Jesus. And he did that because of the cross. And you can be born again. You can now be a new citizen of God, a citizen of the kingdom of God, just by reckoning the death of Jesus to your account. And you do that by saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus died in my place. I repent of my sins. I give him my sins. I believe that he was taken off of the cross, placed in the tomb for 3 days, and rose again, defeating death. And ascended into the Father, and I receive him today as my Lord and my Savior and my King. And the Bible says if you believe that in your heart, confess that with your mouth, you are saved. You are now a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is awesome. Won't y'all stand up? Because I guarantee you, this next song, our last song for the day, you can't sit down. Let's get ready for a hoedown. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace?